you missed the welcome, then you need to know you're welcome. And I don't know what to call what I'm about to do, because technically I'm not really speaking, I'm sharing. In my head there's a difference. It may not be from your receiving end. But one of the things we want to do on these evenings, these first Sunday evenings of the month, when we share as family together around the family meal of bread and wine, is to really kind of encourage that we all might... What's happening? My PowerPoint's got mine of its own. That we might all feel confident to share and to listen to God and to share what God might be saying. And so I just wanted to say a few words to kind of encourage that, really. And then we're going to go back into some worship. I think I've cured the glitch. I think we're going to go back into some worship and try and put into practice some of the things I want to encourage. So we call these first Sunday evenings worship space because we don't want it to be kind of heavily led and directed from those of us who hold the microphones, but we want it to be a space in which we can encounter God, not just through singing, but through one another and listening to one another and sharing with one another as God leads. And I just want to share a couple of thoughts about that this evening and read this psalm, which is a fantastic psalm, isn't it? Psalm 84. Well, I think it's a fantastic psalm anyway. I'm obviously on my own on that one. But let me read it through with you. How lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. That in your heart. How lovely is your dwelling place. And I think sometimes in our way of understanding the Bible and God, we can kind of miss something about when we gather together. We know that in the Old Testament, there was a kind of a location for God, the temple. And so the psalmist could look at the temple and enter the temple and go into a building and say, it's fantastic here, because here I feel really close to your presence. But as New Testament Christians, knowing that God no longer lives in a building, we sometimes can lose the special sense of that really close presence of God. In knowing that God is everywhere, there's almost the risk that he becomes nowhere in particular. And one of the things about being church is, of course, that we are the temple of the Spirit. And when we gather, in a sense, we are where God is especially to be found, and especially to be sensed, and especially to be heard. And yes, we can walk the hills, and we can sit at home in our little rooms, and whatever else, and wherever else, and God is there too. But there's a special sense that I think we capture when we come together as the temple in which God has chosen to dwell by his Spirit. So the psalmist can say, how lovely is your dwelling place, Lord Almighty. There's something about the presence of God that just excites us, or I hope it does. I hope even with God, that old saying about familiarity breeding contempt isn't true. That we still are excited and motivated and animated by being in the presence of God. And for those of us that lead meetings and those of us that participate in meetings, that is really at the root what it's all about. It's about sensing and knowing and hearing and responding to the presence of God. It's not about getting through the program or learning new songs or liking this bit or not liking that bit, is it? But it's about actually, did I sense that God was present? What did he say? How did he touch my life? And what do I want to do in response? So there's something about worship when we come together that's about apprehending the presence of God, his word, his touch. The psalm goes on, my soul yearns, even faints, for the courts of the Lord. My heart and my flesh cry out for the living God. Even the sparrow has found a home, and the swallow a nest for herself, where she may have her young, a place near you, near your altar, Lord Almighty. My God and King is envying anything that might live close to God day in, day out. And then he says, blessed are those who dwell in your house. They are ever praising you. And there's the kind of the second response to being in the presence of God, and the immediate response, if we really have apprehended the real living God whose love never runs out, then automatically there should be something. One of the tests, the litmus tests of knowing whether or not we've encountered God is there something in me that wants to say thank you, that wants to say praise you, that wants to say bless you, that wants to say you're great, that wants to say you're wonderful, that wants to say there's nothing like you in all creation. And so there's that element of praise which we're drawn into because we have entered the presence with the psalmist. The psalm goes on, blessed are those whose strength is in you, whose hearts are set on pilgrimage. As they pass through the valley of Baca, they make it a place of springs. The autumn rains also cover it with pools. They go from strength to strength till each appears before God in Zion. And the image here is of pilgrimage. It's of people pressing on, of moving towards where they know God to be, of not giving up despite the aridity of the valley. They find that actually, because they know where they're going, a dry, arid valley is transplanted into being a place of life and health, a place of springs and fountains. And there's this thought of... It's done it again, is it? It's done it. So you know what I'm going to say next now? This is gone wonky. I know why it's gone wonky. Okay, presence, praise. What am I up to? Yeah, I know. How can I stop it? Well, you know what I was going to say anyway. Let me continue the thought anyway. Whilst I tinker. So the thought is that when we worship, we're not just coming to a place where we stay. We're coming to a place where we want to move on from. That we want to actually let this place be a place of movement, a place of aspiration, a place of growth, a place of refusing to settle for the status quo, a place where actually we want to hear God completely and utterly in order that God's will is done in our lives. A place of pilgrimage. When you come into the presence of God, you don't want to be rushing away, but nor do you want to be putting down roots. Because God's on the move. Remember that Old Testament image of God turning up on that bizarre chariot in exile when Ezekiel sees God's got wheels, wheels within wheels. And where God didn't ought to be, suddenly God turns up. God's moving. So if we put down roots, we're like Peter wanting to build that tent on the day of Transfiguration, where what's supposed to be a glorious encounter, which triggers us into something else, becomes something we want to capture. So, pilgrimage, prayer. Hear my prayer, verse 8, Lord God Almighty. Listen to me, God of Jacob. Look on our shield, O God. Look with favor on your anointed one. So when we know we're in the presence and our praise has been given to God, we sense that calling into pilgrimage, and that instantly then triggers us into prayer because we know we can't go on unless God is with us. We can't actually move forward unless we are sensing not just the presence of God in our coming together in the temple, but also the presence of God when we travel on. Moses' prayer in Exodus 33, isn't it? Lord, don't send us on from here if you're not going with us. Because what else will distinguish us from all the other people we're going to bump into in Aldi this week if your presence is not with us? Kind of what Moses said, but it's the spirit of what Moses said. The prayer. Then the psalm comes to an end. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. I would rather be a doorkeeper in the house of my God than dwell in the tents of the wicked. What coming to worship does for us is it gives us a fresh perspective. It kind of brings life back the way it should be. This is the real world. Christian truth is the real world. Our God represents the real world. And we live in what sometimes we call the real world, or weak, and we get our categories confused. We think what's real is unreal, and what's unreal is real. And one of the reasons we need to worship, and we need to gather, and we need to hear scripture, and we need to come close to God in prayer and praise and all those other P's, is because we need to regain our perspective at least once a week. And remind ourselves who really is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And remind ourselves that the final deal for the future of the universe has been settled on the cross of Jesus. And to remind ourselves that we are more loved than the boss said or the kids said. And there is more hope than the news said. We need to have our perspectives realigned. Better is one day in your courts than a thousand elsewhere. Jesus told us a parable about realigning perspective. And the psalmist says, when you come into the house of God, that's what it does for you. For the Lord God's a sun and a shield. The Lord bestows favor and honor. No good thing does he withhold from those whose way of life is blameless. Lord Almighty, blessed is the one who trusts in you. So the final thing that psalm said to me was about provision. That when we come into the presence of God, we come into the presence of God who wants to bless, who wants to give, who wants to speak, who wants to touch, who wants to change, who wants to transform, who wants to forgive. Come into the presence of a God who is not mute and he's not inactive, but he's a speaking, doing God. And therefore, we need to leave space in our gatherings for him to speak and do. And not do all the speaking and doing ourselves. So those six things, seems to me, and they're not exhaustive, it's just as kind of a reflection for this evening. Those six things, it seems to me, are central to the act of worship, the act of gathering. Sensing the presence, moving to praise, commissioning for pilgrimage, a depth of prayer, a renewal of perspective, and a sensing of God's provision on our lives. Now, the thing is, in the New Testament, we're encouraged to believe that you, yes, you, are actually part of offering that to everybody else in the room. That each one of us bears the responsibility for bringing people into the presence of God, for supporting people on their pilgrimage, for praying for and with people, and so on and so on. So Colossians 4 says, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly as you teach and admonish one another with all wisdom through psalms, hymns, and songs from the Spirit, singing to God with gratitude in your hearts. Notice the one anothering there, one of the many one anothers in the New Testament. And that's what we want on these evenings. It's difficult on a Sunday morning, there's far too many people in the room and far too much constraint of the clock and so on, but we'd love these evenings to be this kind of open one anothering time where we're confident enough to believe that God might speak not just through those at the front of the room, but those who are seated anywhere at all in the room. That God might share a word, a picture, a prayer, a single word. When I say a word, I mean a single word. Something might come from God. In 1 Corinthians 14, Paul says, what should we say then, brothers and sisters? When you come together, each of you has a hymn or a word of instruction, a revelation, a tongue, or an interpretation. Everything must be done so the church may be built up. I wonder if Paul was writing to one of our churches today, he would say that. Some people say he's actually accusing them of being a little disorderly in their worship in this passage. But I wonder if we'd be accused of being similarly disorderly. You're all at it all the time. There's just too many people trying to contribute. I guess actually Paul might write and say the opposite. What's going on? How come God only speaks through three people in your church? The verse might be put the other way around, maybe, if Paul writing to us today. So this is just to encourage us to really share. And this evening, and each of these first Sunday evenings, we really want to, as I've said a couple of times now, encourage each of us to sense that God might want to speak through us. It might just be one thing for one person. But if you don't say that one thing for that one person goes home not having heard what God wanted to say to them tonight. That's the sadness. So how do we do that? Final few thoughts. Does this feel more like a reflection than a talk? I'm not sure. It probably doesn't actually. No, I've got this far into it. The first thing to do is not to come in wanting to say anything. The first thing to do is to come in wanting to be a worshiper. Because it's out of that sense of being drawn into the presence of God that we start hearing God and sensing God for others. So don't come to these meetings wanting to prophesy. Come to these meetings wanting to meet with God and worship him and see what happens next. Secondly, be expectant. Don't expect that the person next to you, who clearly has got their act together, might be somebody that God speaks through. But be expectant that even through you, that God might want to share something. Not every time, not at great length, maybe, but something. Be expectant that even you can be used by God. Thirdly, pay attention. When God wants to speak, more likely he will speak through a thought or an image that comes into your head than a hand writing on the wall. In other words, it will feel very normal. Sometimes we miss what God is saying because it feels too normal, but we've only got the normal head and the normal set of ears and the normal mind and the normal imagination to receive. There isn't a kind of a God bit which has been switched off and suddenly gets switched on in March 2015. So if a thought comes to mind, why is that thought there? If an image or a memory comes to mind, why is it there? Why has it come at this time, at 7:03 on the 1st of March 2015? If a scripture comes to mind, if a song comes to mind, if anything comes to mind, if we're in the presence of God and God is a God who speaks and we trust him to speak, then pay attention to what he might be saying. Often we can miss it because it feels too ordinary. And if you feel that God has put something in your mind or in your heart, a word, a picture, a prophetic word, just next bit of advice, pause to process. Just before you speak, think. Don't try and understand it, because sometimes when God says things, you don't understand it. That's a really bizarre image, God. You know, if Daniel had tried to understand the beasts and the horns and stuff, I'm not sure he would ever have spoken it out or written it down. In sometimes we just don't understand what God is saying, but nevertheless, I think we share it anyway. But there are two equal and opposite errors. We either blurt it out or we bury it. Blurt it or bury it. And sometimes it's good just to kind of pause and think, is what I'm sensing for me, is God addressing my own situation? I've been in meetings before where I've sensed that somebody has shared something very passionately, which God has been speaking to them, but they've just dumped it on everyone else and missed the fact that God might be speaking to them. So just pause. Don't just blurt it out. But on the other hand, don't bury it. That's perhaps a more common issue. We're afraid that the sound of our own voice, what if I've got it wrong? What if God isn't speaking? Well, again, as I said earlier, if God is speaking and you bury it, Jesus told a story about people that bury things they should be investing in others. Yeah, you know that story? So, having paused briefly, think, is this for me? Should I have got the courage to share this? Yeah, okay, I'm not going to blurt it. I'm not going to bury it. I'm going to pass it on. When you pass it on with all humility. That, for me, is the big word. I really think we need to be humble with what we feel God might have said. You may not have the whole thing. You may just have a part of something that somebody here needs to hear. A part of a picture, a part of a word, a part of a scripture. Don't try and work it all out. Don't try and apply it. Don't try and understand it. Just say, whatever, you know, I just feel that God, in my head, I don't understand this at all, but I just feel in my head I had an image of whatever. I was in a meeting once where somebody said, I just feel in my head, it's a really bizarre image, I've never heard this before, but it was like a castle wall, and a bit of the castle wall had fallen down, and where it had fallen down, there's like the shape of a cross in the gap that had been formed by the bricks that fell out. How weird is that, they said. That was all they knew. They couldn't apply it. They couldn't understand it. It didn't seem to make much sense to them. They didn't live in a castle or near a castle. And as far as they knew, nobody in the room lived in a castle or near a castle. Because it doesn't work here in Thornbury, because we'd all be thinking, this is to do with Thornbury Castle falling down, isn't it? But so I'm not used to being in places that got castles. But anyway, what actually happened was there was a couple who, unbeknown to everybody else in that meeting, had been having quite serious marriage problems, and they felt that they were about to separate, and they took the image to be for them, that their wall was falling down, but somehow the cross was standing in the middle holding them together, and they needed to work at holding on to the cross, and by holding on to the cross, they'd be holding on to one another. Now, the person sharing the word didn't understand any of that. They didn't know about the marriage problem. They couldn't have been that lucid about it, but to that couple, it felt like God had spoken directly into the situation that only God knew about. So let me just share that to encourage you to not to hold back. You might say, what if I make a mistake? I wonder what's the bigger mistake? Holding on to God's word that should be shared, or sharing something that's a little bit off beam and nobody quite gets. Let's risk it. Let's risk it as we share together. So I'm going to invite the music team to come back. And what I'm going to ask you to do is just, they're going to play quietly for a few minutes. And just for us to sit quietly without singing, without engaging one another, and just to sit in the presence of God, to enjoy that presence that I've been talking about, and just in our hearts to be listening. Is God impressing something on us? A word, a picture, a scripture, an image, a question? Does it feel like it's for us? Does it feel like it's something that might bless somebody else in the room? Just listen to God in your heart. See what comes. Father, we believe that you're a speaking God. And Lord, we don't want to make things up here, but nor do we want to miss the fact that your gracious presence amongst us means that you love us and you want to speak to us and touch us and change us and heal us and move us on pilgrimage. And I pray, Lord, that as we spend these few quiet moments, centered as we are around this table representing your great love for us through the death of your Son, that you'd come close by your Spirit and that you'd speak into our hearts, our minds, our imaginations, our spirits, that we might receive words and pictures, scriptures, images, promises, challenges that we want to hear. Speak, Lord, for your servants are listening.